Hey friends, welcome or welcome back to the Soon Diaries podcast. I'm your host, Naz, and welcome to my year-end episode called 2023 in K-drama land. I am so excited about this episode. I've been working on it for a while, and I am just so excited to talk to you guys about all the dramas that have come out this year, the ones I watched, how I feel about them. And of course, we're going to go through some categories and awards and things like that. So I am so excited. So before I jump into it, I just wanted to give a spoiler warning. I'm going to try not to reveal anything major as far as spoilers because a lot of these shows that I'm going to talk about, if you haven't seen them, you definitely should. So I don't want to provide like any major spoilers, but there are going to be some small little scenes I'm going to talk about that aren't going to like ruin the show. But just so you're aware, I am going to be talking about the shows and kind of some of the general things that happen in them. So if you don't want to hear those things, if I'm talking about a certain show that you haven't watched yet and you just don't want to know anything about, just skip that section. But I just wanted to put that out there since I'm going to be talking a lot about these dramas. So I just don't want to spoil anything for anybody. So please go in knowing that there are some information that's going to be shared about the shows. So, oh, I'm so excited. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about was my general thoughts on K-drama land this year. So 2023, I think, was a very interesting year as far as K-dramas. Overall, I have to say I had a wonderful K-drama year. In the beginning of the year, I made a new rule and I said, I'm not going to watch dramas I don't enjoy because, you know, life is short. I'm not going to spend time watching dramas that I have to, you know, drag myself through. If I don't like it, I'm just going to drop it. So this year I got a lot better with dropping dramas that were not gripping me. And that really, really helped me. A few duds still slipped in there because they started off really good. But for the most part, like I was really dropping shows that weren't really sticking with me. And that helped me a lot. And I think that really helped my year be really good overall because for the most part, I watched dramas that I really, really enjoyed from beginning to end. So in the beginning of the year, it was weird because there was such a slow start, right? And this was like only probably like the second year I was watching like ongoing dramas. So I thought that like, okay, a lot of dramas were kind of front loaded in the beginning of the year, but I realized like, okay, that's not always the case. Like what happened last year. So, it was kind of slow in the beginning. Not a lot of those big, huge name dramas were coming out in the beginning of the year. And, you know, we're kind of going into like the spring and like, I was like, still nothing really huge had come out. Not to say I hadn't watched any dramas that I like truly enjoyed with my whole heart through, you know, from January to June, but I was waiting for those like big dramas that like, you know, took the community by storm that didn't really happen until probably around June. And I know there was a lot of discourse about, oh, like 2023 K-dramas aren't good anymore. What's going on? And I was definitely a part of that as well. In the beginning, I was like, you know, something's happening. Like the dramas aren't hitting, like what's going on? But then, you know, I thought about it more and I'm like, I truly loved the shows that I watched this year. I added a lot of dramas to my faves of all time. A lot of dramas that were like, I thought were very, very excellent. And yeah, I was a lot more selective with what I was watching. So I can't honestly say that I feel like 2023 dramas were weak. They weren't good. Like K-dramas were slacking. I can't agree with that statement because I was looking at my list of dramas I watched this year and I was like, I watched some excellent dramas this year that I love with my entire heart. And I feel like if I'm walking away from a year with like multiple dramas in my phase of all time, multiple dramas that I like rate a 4, like that's a really good year. And that's what my year was. So yeah, I really enjoyed the dramas I watched this year. Now, is it like 2016? No, nothing can compare to 2016. But yeah, I can't say the dramas were terrible when the majority I watched ended up being, you know, extremely good. So yeah, so that's like kind of my general thoughts on like the dramas I watched this year and kind of like the state of K-drama land in general. So as far as like the themes, so we all know that there was a theme this year and it was time slips and, you know, past lives, and some dramas combined both of those things. And, you know, I'm really thankful that See You in My 19th Life came out when it did, because if it came out later in the year, I probably wouldn't have even watched it just because of being exhausted from the trope. But Yeah, it just became so obnoxious after a while with the past lives thing. It was like, oh, you know, you two people meet and you're like, okay, this is like a cute little quirky drama. And then all of a sudden, you know, at the end of the first episode, you see like, oh my gosh, they knew each other in a past life. Ugh. Like, you know, and it just became so repetitive and it became laughable at a certain point. And I think we don't need any more of this trope for the next 3 years at least, because it was just like one after the other after the other after the other. So I'm so happy that CN My 19th Life came out first and it was the first one, because it was ridiculous, and a lot of them weren't done well either, so it just felt so pointless. So yeah, lots of time slipping past lives. I also noticed that there was a very small amount of melodramas and like slice of life dramas this year. There are barely any. So yeah, that was really sad, because those are my favorite genres, or some of my favorite genres. And I definitely felt the hole. I also noticed that there was an even bigger Netflix push this year with K-dramas. Netflix was pushing out a lot of original Korean content, as well as distributing a lot more Korean content. They're acquiring dramas that like were only on Viki, like, you know, and all of a sudden like you see them on Netflix like a month after they're done airing, and I'm like, wow, this is very new and different. So I definitely noticed that. So I'm thinking like, you know, maybe because of like the sheer amount of content that's coming out, maybe that contributed to like the lack of quality that people were experiencing. So who knows, but I thought that was really interesting. And then also this year, I primarily was pretty much only watching ongoing dramas. I did watch a handful of older dramas, and but it was mostly ongoing dramas I was watching this year. I just had to kind of like admit to myself, like, I think I'm an ongoing dramas girly, even though there's like literally 100 old dramas that I want to watch, and I can't figure out how to fit them into my schedule. So if you have any tips, let me know. But I'm struggling. I'm like, yeah, it's really, really hard. And there's so many classics I still need to watch, but I literally just don't have the time. So that's something that I want to try to fit in more next year. But yeah, those are kind of like my general thoughts about, you know, 2023 in K-drama land and what's been going on. So let's get into, you know, the main event, kind of like all my different categories of what I'm going to be talking about in today's episode. So I'm going to lay out all of the categories I'm going to be talking about throughout the episode. Okay, so first I'm going to talk about all the dramas I completed. Then I'm going to give you guys my top 10 K-dramas for the entire year. I'm going to have best actor and actress, best couple, favorite secondary characters, confession of the year, best kisses, best chemistry, plot twists, best villain, best tearjerkers, best time slip and past lives drama, because there were so many of them, dropped dramas, biggest disappointments, funniest drama, favorite new to me actors, and additions to my list. If you don't know what the list is, me and Oriel recorded an episode a few months ago called The List, and it was basically kind of like a rundown of all of our favorite actors and why we love them, the shows we enjoyed them in, and stuff like that. So it's kind of like an inside joke, but not really. Best friendship, best OSTs, most underrated drama, most surprising drama, non-2023 dramas I watched this year, and then my predictions for next year's dramas. So that is what I'll be talking about today. I'm super, super excited. So let's dive into it. And first, I'm going to just quickly go through all the dramas I completed this year. So this year, I watched 29 dramas total, but I watched 23 of the 2023 K-dramas. So I watched Crash Course in Romance, Call It Love, Trolley, CN My 19th Life, The Good Bad Mother, Destined With You, The Worst of Evil, My Lovely Liar, Oasis, Love to Hate You, Perfect Marriage Revenge, Castaway Diva, Bloodhounds, Not Others, Alchemy of Soul Season 2, King of the Land, My Dearest, Behind Your Touch, One Day Off, The Forbidden Marriage, The Glory, Duna, and Soundtrack Number 2. And also, I wanted to say that I count 2023 dramas as dramas that ended in 2023. So there are some dramas that started in 2022 but ended in 2023. So those are included as well. So that's why The Forbidden Marriage and Alchemy of Souls Season 2 is on here. Okay, So let's go through my top 10 favorite K-dramas of 2023. So I'm going to start out with number 10. Also, for a lot of my categories, if you know or don't know, I am the most indecisive person ever. So for pretty much every category, I have honorable mentions because it's just hard for me to make decisions. So yes, I will have some honorable mentions for my favorite K-dramas that came out in 2023. But here's my top 10. So number 10 is Behind Your Touch. Oh my goodness, I loved this drama. It was just such a good time. It was so funny. It was so light. The cast was really, really great. And the story was very well fleshed out, in my opinion. I thought the writing was really good. And, you know, I went in thinking it was just going to be this, you know, silly, goofy drama, which I really don't gravitate towards. But I love Han Ji-min and Lee Min-ki. So I was like, I have to check it out. But I really, really enjoyed it a lot. The story was so fast paced, and it was really, really good. I really, really enjoyed it. So number 9 is Trolley. So Trolley was a drama that came out last December, and it's kind of like a melodrama thriller, and it's about a husband and wife. The husband is a politician, and she is a she's not a housewife, but she owns like kind of like a book repair shop. And she kind of lives like, you know, the seemingly picture perfect life with her husband, but her husband's running for office, and basically the wife's past and like some of the secrets she's been holding on to start to come out and like basically start to like threaten her husband's campaign in a way. And like, she's basically trying to desperately hide her past, but there's like so many twists and turns, and like even twists and turns with the husband. It is so good. And I feel like I was the only person that watched it. I think I know one other person that watched it. You know who you are. So yeah, I loved it. It was so good. It had me on the edge of my seat. It was really, really good. Also, The Good Bad Mother was incredible. The acting performances, top-notch, some of the best of the year. It wasn't perfect, but like, I thought it was just very well done, and beautiful acting, beautiful story. It was really, really great. Castaway Diva, it was just such a sweet show. It was like a very, very, very cute show. It wasn't perfect. There were some aspects of it that kind of made me scratch my head a little bit, but other than that, like, I thought it was a very unique story and like a nice reprieve from just like all the past lives nonsense. So it was really, really nice. Bloodhounds was so good and so unexpectedly good. I wasn't expecting it to blow me away the way that it did, but I really, really, really enjoyed Bloodhounds. I'm a Woo Do-hwan fan for life now. It was very well done. Number 5, The Glory. We all know The Glory. We know why it's on here. This had to be my top 5. The Glory was like, it was excellent. The acting, oh my gosh, the acting performances. Oh my gosh, like some of the worst villains I've ever seen in any K-drama ever. Oh my goodness. The story, the revenge was executed perfectly. It was just a very smart show, and it was amazing. Crash Course in Romance is number 4. Oh my goodness, this was like my happy show. It just gave me all the warm, fluffy feelings. Again, it's not a perfect show, but like, it warmed my heart. And like, the show came out in January, and I never forgot about how the show made me feel. The romance was really sweet. It was a mature romance, and we always need more of those. So I absolutely loved it. I thought it was such a cute show. Number 3 is See You in My 19th Life. Oh my goodness, oh, I love the show so much. I just thought the concept was so interesting. It was so cool, you know, with the main lead having like 19 lives and all these things. It was really, really cool. The romance was amazing. The storyline was amazing. There was like a mystery. It was so good. I really, really enjoyed it. Every single episode I was locked in. It was a perfect length. It was great. Number 2, Call It Love. Oh my gosh. Y'all, Call It Love. Call It Love. Oh my goodness. Before my number 1 show that I'm going to say soon came into the picture, Call It Love was my drama of the year for the like 75% of the year. This show was so beautiful and heartfelt, and it was amazing. It was amazing. And I have reviews for a lot of these shows on my top 10. We did a review, a mini review for Bloodhounds. I did a review for The Good Bad Mother. I did a review for Crash Course in Romance, You and My 19th Life, and Call It Love as well. So, but yeah, Call It Love is incredible. Oh my gosh. Like, I just never forgot about how that show made me feel. It just had my full attention. It was so good. And number one, you guys should not be surprised, my number one K-drama of 2023 is My Dearest. Oh, My Dearest. My Dearest has my entire heart. I've never watched a show that has gripped me the way My Dearest gripped me. I mean, the acting performances are just outstanding. The historical context of the story, the relationships, the romance, just everything. There's this show is perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. And it was just... it was just such an experience watching it. Was it stressful? Yes. But I enjoyed every single minute of My Dearest and just how that show made me feel. Man, oh man, such a good show. Such a good show. All right. So those are my top 10 dramas, but I do have some honorable mentions. So I have to mention Perfect Marriage Revenge. I have a review for that one as well. So good. It was so unexpected. It came at the perfect time. And I loved every moment of it. It was just good, soapy goodness. And I just ate it up. And I think a lot of people enjoyed it because it was just so unserious. But, like, the romance was really good. Like, it was just really, really... it was just a good show. Like, you know, like, is this life-changing? No. But, like, it was just... it was fun. It was just a blast. And that's why I loved it. And I also had to mention Oasis. Now, with Oasis, it's weird. Because I can acknowledge that Oasis is nowhere near perfect. Like, there are issues. There are issues. But the watching experience was just so interesting to me. Like, I was gripped. Like, I was like, what are they going to pull out next? Because it was just madness. It was crazy. And I was not expecting the show to be that crazy. But it had me hooked because of just, I was like, whoa. Like, I didn't know what I was walking into when I started the show. And I still can't really describe Oasis to anyone, really, because it's like there's so much happening. But I enjoyed every minute of it. It was great. It was great. The acting was really good. It was awesome. Like, it's kind of like the same thing with Perfect Marriage Revenge. I was just having a good time. And I think that's why it holds a special place in my heart, because it was just a good time. It was so, so good. Okay. So let's get into our acting categories. So, Best Actor and Best Actress of 2023. So for Best Actor, you already know, Nam Goong Min. Oh my goodness. His performance in My Dearest, the way that he uses his eyes is incredible. I don't know how he does it, but he evokes so much emotion just by using his eyes, and he's just a master at micro expressions. I don't know how he does it, but he is so talented. He is so, so talented. And of course, I had to have some honorable mentions. So of course, Kim Young Kwang from Call It Love. He was our male lead. He was incredible. His character was very kind of like depressed in the beginning of the show. And you could tell that he didn't have a lot of joy in his life, and he was very lonely. And throughout the show, you just see him start to open up, and it's a beautiful journey. And I think the way that he portrayed this character was really, really beautiful. Also, Lee Do-hyun. I was new to the Lee Do-hyun train this year with The Glory, as well as with The Good Bad Mother. He is incredible. He is such a good actor, and he's so cute too, but he's such a good actor. And I was like, I understand the Lee Do-hyun hype. Like, I get it. Like, I understand, because he is incredible. He's incredible. And The Good Bad Mother, oh my gosh, he killed it. He killed it. And then also Jang Dong-yoon, who is another new to me actor this year. He was in Oasis, as well as Daily Dose of Sunshine. He's in My Man is Cupid, and I Like Flowers and Sand. He is a very good actor. And like in Oasis in particular, that show had him going through a lot, and he portrayed the character's pains so, so well. The character went through a lot of different evolutions throughout the drama, and I think he portrayed those things very, very well. He did a really great job, and his acting performance stuck out to me even at this point in the year. Now that, you know, I'm like so many months removed from the show, I still think about his performance in that show. Okay, so Best Actress, An Eun-jin, who plays our Gil-che in My Dearest. She was also in The Good Bad Mother, and she definitely stuck out in that show as well. She's an incredible actress. I'm really happy that she got so much attention this year because she deserves it. She is amazing at what she does, and I really, really enjoyed watching her in those two shows this year. I'm excited to see what else she does because now she's that girl. So I'm really, really excited for her. And for my honorable mentions, I had to say Lee Sung Kyung, who played Wooju in Call It Love, our female lead. This is the first time I saw Lee Sung Kyung play this role of someone that's very, very like monotone, you know, definitely hurt, bitter, angry. And she played it so well. Like, it was so convincing. And she did an incredible job. I loved her performance in that show. Also Shin Hye Sun, which I had seen in Hymn of Death like 2-3 years ago. But I had forgotten I'd even seen her on that show. So like seeing My 19th Life was kind of like, you know, me being like, oh, like Shin Hye Sun, like it's like this is the show that made me like realize like who she was. And like, she is amazing. I need to watch all of her shows. She's so versatile and she's so funny and she's, I don't know, she's incredible. She's incredible. I really enjoyed her performance in seeing My 19th Life. And of course, Song Hye Kyo, the glory, she killed it. I don't want to hear anybody say that she can't act. She's amazing. She is incredible. She played the role of Dong-gun so well. You could feel her pain. You could feel her anger, even though she kind of had like a more subdued personality. You could feel all of those things. And she did an incredible job. She was amazing. Okay, so best couple. So for number three, Wooju and Dong-jin from Call It Love. Oh! Oh my gosh. Oh. That romance was just, it was the best. And it was a slow burn, so like when things really started happening, like you really felt it in your chest, and it was so good. But yeah, and like they really helped each other heal and grow, and I really enjoyed them together. They're so good. Number two is Chiyeol and Hengsun from Crash Course in Romance. They were my number one couple. Well, yeah, like they were like probably my number one couple until My Dearest came out. They were so cute. Oh gosh, they were adorable. I just love them so much. And my number one couple, of course, is Jonghyun and Gilche from My Dearest, because those two went through a lot. And that is an understatement. So much separation, so much pain, so many misunderstandings. And man, they really had this sweeping, epic romance for the ages, literally. It's just, and because of what they've been through and like the bond that they formed, like they have to be the best couple, even though they like, it was so tumultuous to get them to, you know, them actually being together. It was so worth it, and it was a real slow burn. Like, it was a slow burn, but it was so, so satisfying once like they could finally be together. And like, yeah, but man, so good. They went through a lot, but like, yeah, they're a power couple, because Gilche is that girl. She is strong, you know, she is smart, and Jonghyun is incredibly smart, and you know, he's a protector, and yeah, you know, he can do it all. So they were just such a power couple, and I loved them. Honorable mentions, I had to say Gunwoo and Woojin from Bloodhounds. They had the best bromance. It was the best bromance of the year. It was adorable. I loved them. Like, I was like, I really hope they're best friends in real life, because it was so cute. I loved them. Their partnership was great. Minju and Kang-ho from The Good Bad Mother. Oh, their relationship was so sweet. Like, all the flashbacks of their relationship in the show were just adorable. And then even once they got back together, it was really, really cute. So yeah, I loved them so much. And Iju and Do-guk from Perfect Marriage Revenge. You know, Do-guk is like the greenest green flag. He's like literally the perfect man that doesn't exist. And like, yeah, they were just a really, really cute couple. Like, really, really, really cute couple. Adorable. So now on to my favorite secondary characters. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I have to talk about Une from My Dearest. She is such a loyal friend. She had such a sweet spirit about her. She would pray for her friends. Like, she just thought the best of her friends. Like, even of Gilche. Like, Gilche did some things that were so questionable throughout the show, and Une was so forgiving, and she was just so sweet, and she was willing to do anything for Gilche. And it was, their friendship was so beautiful, and I really loved her character. She was very gentle and very kind and very caring, and I just loved her character so much. Yoon-jun from Call It Love, who was Woo-joo's best friend, and he was also friends with all the siblings, and I call him the pharmacist. He was great, and like, you know, for me personally, I haven't seen a lot of K-dramas where there's this really healthy, loving, platonic friendship between a man and a woman. And Yoon-jun was like genuinely just Woo-joo's friend. And he like did so much for her. Like, you know, in the situation in Call It Love, basically the childhood home that Woo-joo and her siblings grew up in with their mom ended up being like bought by her deceased father's mistress, and they had to get out of the house, and it was this whole dramatic thing. So Yoon-jun ended up taking them all in, and I'm just like, you know, like, how many people would do that, you know? So yeah, he was an amazing friend. Loved him. He was definitely a secondary character that like I never forgot about. He was great. Loved him. And I also love the actor as well, so I definitely want to watch more of his shows. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed him in the show. Also, Cho Won from 19th Life. She was our main lead actress's sister. She was so sweet, and I just loved how she wore her heart on her sleeve. And she definitely stuck out to me this year as a character I really, really liked. And then also, last but certainly not least, is Mrs. Nam from The Glory. I loved how she kind of pursued friendship with Dong-eun. And even though Dong-eun made it clear, like, I don't do friends. Like, I'm not going to be your friend. Like, da, da, da. But Mrs. Nam was just so loving towards her. And Mrs. Nam had a really hard life. But she extended so much loving kindness to Dong-eun and was so helpful to her, and she was so smart, and it was great. So I really, really enjoyed her character. She definitely stuck out to me this year. So now on to confession of the year. So I actually have a tie because, you know, I'm indecisive. I can't pick. So My Dearest, My Dearest confession. I have to read the quote. I have to read the quote because, yeah. So basically, there was something that happened to Gilche that she wanted to share with Jonghyun. And this was Jonghyun's response. He says, "Go ahead if you want to tell me. It does not matter. Do you still not understand? Are you really in the dark about how I feel? For me, you are enough. Impoverished Gilche, wealthy Gilche, fierce Gilche, tender Gilche, Gilche who doesn't love me, Gilche who does love me. However you are, all I need is Gilche." Oh my gosh, like, come on. Oh my gosh, I'm like melting thinking about it. I don't even know what to say. Like, and that's not even all of it, that's just half. I'm only like giving this half because I don't want to give like too many spoilers, but come on. But before the My Dearest confession happened, my number one confession of the year was a Crash Course in Romance confession. Oh my gosh, it was everything. So basically, there was a situation with our main lead, and she basically to everybody else, like, she was married and her husband was like off working in the Philippines. So basically, once she Hengsan and Chiyo started getting closer, everyone was like, oh my gosh, like, the tutor guy is having an affair with this married woman. So Chiyo is having this like presentation and at this like auditorium for like parents that were interested in his program, and they were kind of doing like a Q&A, and this woman asked like, oh, like, how could you like have an affair with like a married woman, da da da. Meanwhile, like, Hengsan is not married at all. It was just like all like a misunderstanding. So people were asking really rude questions, and Hangsan was actually in the auditorium because she wanted to support Chiyol, but she was getting up to leave when things start to get a little crazy with the people asking the rude questions. So then this is what Chiyol says. And as he's saying this, like on stage, like he's looking at Hangsan and she's like trying to run out. And he says, "I offered to tutor the student," and the student being her daughter, "and I'm the one who had feelings, not her. I never deserved her. She's extremely kind-hearted and shines so brightly." Oh, and he was staring at her the whole time. And I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, that confession just ruined me. It was just the sweetest thing ever. And I just could not get over it. And all year, I loved it. And I still love it, clearly. But then My Dearest happened. And I was like, okay. But so good. So good. Okay, let's move on to best kisses. So I have a couple, like a handful. So one of them is a recent one. So soundtrack number 2, that was a really good kiss. And with that story, it's like a second chance romance. So they already had the history there and like the longing and like them missing each other. And it was just like really tender, like really swoony. It was very well done. I was like, oh yeah, this is good. I wasn't expecting it to be that good. But it was really good. The Good Bad Mother was very unexpectedly good. Like, I was like, oh, okay. Like, but it was very, very good. Castaway Diva. I love Castaway Diva's kiss because there was just so much joy. And with our main couple in that show, they had been through so much. They had been through so much together. And they had been apart for some time. And coming back together later on. And like, then they finally like kissed. It was just like, there was like so much joy, and there was almost like relief and like, oh my gosh, like, oh, you know, it was just so much love there. And it was really, really sweet. Call It Love. Oh my gosh. Call It Love. Y'all, I'm so sorry. I'm like melting down like as I'm doing this, because I'm just like remembering how I felt when I like was watching these shows and how much I loved them. But Call It Love was like a slow burn. It was a slow burn. Both of our characters were just very like, they were kind of dancing around each other for a long time. And I'm just like, when is it going to happen? And like, when it finally happened, it was just like, it was just so sweet. And it was so romantic. And like, this is going to sound like really weird, but like the way that Dongjin was holding Wooju's face was just like very like, it was just so romantic, because he was like kind of like stroking her face with like his thumb. I don't know why I always remember that, but it was very romantic and I loved it. Crash Course in Romance. It was just so sweet. And I think like that's like the common denominator with like all the kisses that I love this year. Just very, very sweet. And of course, My Dearest. Ah, and like there were like a few kisses in My Dearest. A lot of them kind of being like, you know, Jang Hyun kind of like being like, okay, like I'm gonna kiss you. But like when it was finally like Gilche was like willing participant, it like it changed the game. Not that the other kisses, because the other kisses definitely like killed me as well, because it was just like so swoony and so shocking and unexpected and stuff, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the tension. But the one, like the consensual one, was really, really beautiful, because again, slow burn, and they had been through so much together. So good. If you're surprised if King Deland's kiss isn't on here, the reason why that one is not on here was, one, again, I like kind of like the more like the sweet romantic ones. That one was just like a little bit, it was a bit, not that it was like too much, but I think because that show just got on my nerves so much, like I can't even really think about the kiss or the romance or anything. I'm just like, the show is just annoying. And I feel like, yes, it was like a really good kiss with like the sprinklers and the rain and all the things. It was really, really good. But because I wasn't bought into like the romance and the story, I didn't feel the same attachment that I do to like these kisses that I've listed. So yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I love these shows so much. Okay. So now on to best chemistry. Okay. So first, An Eun-jin and Nam Kyung-min, again, are my dearest couple. On paper, this shouldn't have worked. There's like such a large age gap. And like, you know, even when I heard about the show and I was like, that's a really interesting pairing. Like, how's that going to work? It worked perfectly. The chemistry was incredible. They worked so well together, and you can tell. Lee Sang-kyung and Kim Young-kwang in Call It Love, I was like convinced that they were dating. Convinced. I was like, they have to be dating. They have to. The chemistry was too much. It was amazing. I was like, they have to date. I still want them to date. Perfect Marriage Revenge, Sung Hoon and Jung Yoo-min, they had amazing chemistry, and that's what really like pulled me into the show in the first place. Because I saw so many reels of them together and stuff, and I was like, okay, like they're cute, and they were just so cute. The chemistry was definitely there. Soundtrack number two, Steve No and Geum Se-rok. Their chemistry was great, and the show was so short and sweet, but I think they played really, really well off of each other, and I think they looked really good together. Our Love to Hate You couple, Yoo Tae-ho and Kim Ok-bin, their chemistry was amazing. That was another mature romance that was really, really fun to watch this year. It was a really short and sweet drama as well. And their chemistry was great. It was really, really good. Like, they, again, like, if he wasn't married already, I'd be like, oh my gosh, they'd be so cute together. So I loved them together. My Lovely Liar couple, Kim So-hyun and Min Hyun, they were very, very cute together. Like, even though that show, was annoying, but their chemistry was very, very good. And I wish that we could have gotten more of it, because I feel like the romance kind of got lost in the sauce at a certain point during that show. But their chemistry was really, really cute behind the scenes. Their photo shoots, like, they were just really, really cute. Destined With You couple, Robun and Jo Boa, they were adorable together. They were adorable together. The chemistry was definitely there, but not much else. And Yuna and Juno from King of the Land, like, their chemistry was undeniable. I mean, even when that show was on, there was rumors like Yuna and Juno are dating. Like, it was everywhere, and they denied it or whatever, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were, because their chemistry was very good. Like, you could tell it looked like they were together, literally. So yeah, the chemistry was definitely strong between them. Okay, so now onto plot twists. So I'm not going to share what the plot twists were for these, because obviously I'm not going to ruin the shows for you guys if you haven't watched it. But Oasis, if you know, you know. When I tell y'all, I was shook to my core with one of the reveals in Oasis. Didn't see it coming. Because usually with plot twists and things like that, I'm pretty good at like predicting what's going to happen in shows. Didn't see that one coming at all. I was shocked. Shocked. Still shocked. It's hands down the best plot twist of the year. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and that's what, like, I was already like invested in the show, but I was even more invested after that. Couldn't believe it. Also, the show Trolley had a really, really, really crazy plot twist as well that shook me, that I was not expecting. And then Behind Your Touch also had a really good plot twist with, like, you know, who the villain ended up being. And I think they did that very, very, very well. It was really, really good. Speaking of villains, the best villain of the year, hands down, Yeonjin, played by Im Ji-yeon in The Glory. She's the most wicked character I've seen in any K-drama ever, hands down. The most wicked. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. She was pure evil. Some of the things that she did, even like the teenage version of her, I struggle to even like watch the teenage version and like, you know, Im Ji-yeon in like other shows throughout the year, because they played the role so well. Like, I just, yeah, wickedness, wicked, wicked, wicked. I just, that woman was evil. And you really are rooting for Dong-eun to get her revenge because of how evil she is. And the other people in the little bully gang were terrible as well. Like, they were all just disgusting people, but like her as the ringleader, like she was the worst. Like, oh my gosh, she was terrible. So, oh yeah. On to best tearjerkers. Yeah, so My Dearest, of course. Again, if you've watched My Dearest, you know how emotional it is. It's such an emotional show. So definitely lots of tears from that show. The Good Bad Mother wrecked me in so many different episodes. It was just, there was one thing after the other, after the other, after the other happening to our characters. And it was just, it was hard. It was really, really hard. Also see in My 19th Life, particularly with any scenes with like the child actors in See in My 19th Life were incredible. And same with The Good Bad Mother, the child actors, the twins, oh my gosh, every scene with the twins, oh my gosh. But yeah, See in My 19th Life, the child actor scenes like really, really destroyed me. So yeah, lots of tears. But yeah, speaking of See in My 19th Life, the best time slip / past lives drama goes to See You in My 19th Life. I have to create a category for this because there are so many time slip dramas this year and like past lives dramas. So yeah, I feel like most things that came out after See You in My 19th Life were not up to par as far as them like doing the past lives thing really well, or like time slip really well. But I have to give an honorable mention to Perfect Marriage Revenge because I feel like it revived the trope, because I feel like it was See You My 19th Life was good. Well, at least I think it was good. I realized that like over the year there was like discourse about the show and how people didn't like it. And I was like, wow, I loved it. I didn't know that people didn't like it. But See You My 19th Life and then like all the other shows that came out in between and then Perfect Marriage Revenge, I feel like revived the trope. And because they actually did the time slip thing really, really well. And you would think that, like, with a Makjong drama, they would, like, make it all crazy or whatever. But they did such a good job with it. And they made it so simple. And all the other shows just made it so hard. And, like, I just didn't get it. So, yeah. But, yeah. Perfect Marriage Revenge and See You My 19th Life are definitely the best kind of time slip, past lives dramas, to me, that came out this year. Okay. So, now on to the dramas I dropped this year. So I dropped a drama called Red Balloon. I believe that started last December and it was on until February. First of all, when I started watching it, because the second female lead from Crash Landing on You was in it. And I was like, oh, this looks cool. And I started watching it. I think I made it 10 episodes and I was like, I don't know why I'm watching this. First of all, it was a Makjong. I didn't know that it was a Makjong drama. I think it was going to have 20 episodes total, but it was just like, it was just getting really annoying. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm good. I also dropped The Interest of Love. That drama, I believe, started in January. And oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. The characters were insufferable. It was literally just a collection of self-sabotagers. And it was so painful to watch. And then it was also really boring. And I was like, I'm like struggling with this show. I think I made it 7 episodes and I was like, okay, I can't do this. Cause I watched the first 2 episodes, loved it. Watched 3 and 4 and I was like, I'll watch 5 and 6 and see how I feel. I watched 5 and 6 and I was just like, I'm going to give it 1 more week. And I watched episode 7. I was like, I'm not even going to watch episode 8. I'm done. And they kept doing these like little like fake me out, like, you think this is what happened, but then like in the next episode, you see that it was like completely different. And you're like, you can do the fake me out thing like once, but you can't do it every episode. Then it just gets annoying. All the characters were annoying. It was just not fun. It wasn't fun. So yeah, drop that one. Bora Deborah, AKA True to Love, starring, oh my gosh. Oh, how can I forget her name? I'm so sorry. Second female lead from Goblin. I don't know why her name is like slipping my mind right now, but, yes, I was so excited about this show. I was like, oh, this show's gonna be great. It's like rom-com, like this is gonna be so good. And it wasn't. Like, I think I made it like maybe 7 episodes, I believe. And it just was not, it wasn't what I thought it was gonna be at all. You know, I thought, because, you know, she's like a dating coach and she has like a radio show, I think, and she writes books and things like that. Yuna, sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's her name. I don't know how I forgot her name. But she gives dating advice, but then like she ends up like, you know, she ends up having a breakup, and we spent a lot of time like on her like healing from her breakup. And like I think that's like fine because it's realistic, but then I think they spent too long on it, so then I was like, I don't even know what the show is about anymore. And it just didn't grip me like how I thought it would, and I was really disappointed because I was so excited about the show. I was like, this is right down my alley, it's springtime rom-com, and it just didn't deliver for me. And then lastly, A Time Called You. So I did a lover list with Maddie on A Time Called You. Super excited to watch it. I was like, this is going to be really good. Like, I'm so excited about this. And I knew that it was a Taiwanese drama that I've heard people really like. So I was like, oh, this should be really good. I was really intrigued by the first 2 episodes. And then I watched, like, I think I watched 3 and 4, maybe like a week later. And then I just kind of fell off of it. And then I was hearing from people like, oh, like it's kind of convoluted and weird and confusing. And I was just like, oh, like I'll get back to it eventually. And then I was like, okay, like the year is wrapping up. Let me try to finish A Time Called You. And I think I watched through episode, five and six, seven maybe. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I just felt like the show didn't need to be as confusing as it was. And there were things that were happening that I feel like, in the rules of time travel, like just didn't make sense. Not that everything needs to make sense because it is television, but like there were some things that I just couldn't wrap my head around. It's already a very confusing concept, but they made it too confusing. And I just don't know why they felt the need to make it that convoluted. So I had to let that one go. And a friend of mine gave me like all the spoilers, and I was like, yep, I'm glad I stopped because I would have finished the show and been frustrated. So I'm good. Okay, so now on to biggest disappointments. So first, oh, King of the Land. King of the Land. Oh my goodness. My goodness. Oh my gosh. I've been looking forward to this show since 2022. I heard Junho is going to be in a rom-com. I was like, oh, this is what dreams are made of. This is what dreams are made of. I cannot wait to watch Junho in a rom-com. The last thing I had seen him in, it was The Red Sleeve. I completely fell in love with him in that show. It was incredible. I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. Finally, we get a date. The show's coming out in June. So excited. I'm like, this is going to be the show of the year. This is going to be the show of the summer. Everyone's going to be watching King of the Land. It's going to be a blockbuster hit. Oh my gosh. So I watched the first two episodes, and me and Oriel did a liver list on it. And like I liked it, but I wasn't like obsessed. Like I think I was definitely expecting it to be a little bit more, have a little bit more oomph to it. And then as time goes on, I watched three and four, and I'm like, okay, three and four, really good. Five and six, I was like, that wasn't good. Seven and eight, I was like, ooh, and I was like, I'm done. I'm done. I think I made it to like episode nine. I was like, I'm dropping it. So I actually dropped it. And then like when the show ended, I was like, oh, okay, let me go back to it and like finish it. I just wanted to know what was gonna happen. And nothing happened. That was the problem with King of the Land. Like, nothing happened in that show. Like, it was so boring. And I'm like, how do you mess up a rom-com? Like, how do you mess up like rich guy, poor girl? How do you mess up the CEO trope? Like, it's so simple, but it was so boring. And it wasn't because like, oh, like, the people are like, oh, like it's because they'd had no conflict or whatever. It's not even because of that. It just wasn't a good story. Like, there was no story. I'm so sad. I'm still sad about King of the Land. So sad. It was just nothing. And it was all about like, oh, like this episode they kissed again. They kissed here, they kissed there, and they kissed. It's just like, all right, like it almost ended up like being like, okay, like are y'all just like inserting all these kisses in there so people can like be excited about the show? Because that's pretty much all that was happening. Like nothing else was happening. It was so sad. But yeah, oh, King of Land. Another show that disappointed me was Not Others. That show starred Soo Young and Jung Hye Jin. I love Soo Young. So I was really excited to watch that show. It started off really good. And then it just fizzled out. Didn't like the ending at all. I think that they just undid everything that they built up at the end. I don't know. At the and then there's so many like holes. There's so many unanswered questions at the end. I'm like, so was this the like was how was this the ending when you guys have answered no questions? Like, it just felt like it was just such an abrupt ending. I didn't enjoy it at all. Okay, so I'm actually gonna say what really bothered me. One, the mom was very annoying. She was very immature, very irritating. And I don't feel like she ever really grew and learned. Soo-young's character was trying to kind of gain her independence. Her and her mom are kind of like really codependent on each other. And at the end of the show, she's like, well, I'm going to go on this backpacking trip. Because apparently one of her dreams is to go backpacking, which she never mentioned at any point during the show. But at the end, she's like, I'm going to go backpacking. So she goes backpacking. And the point was for her to go by herself. And her mom was like devastated because, she's never been away from her daughter. She goes backpacking. And then we see this like montage at the end of the show that her mom ended up joining her on the trip. And I was like, what is the point? Like, what is the point? So I didn't appreciate that. And then there was this whole situation with her biological father that I think was handled so poorly. her and her love interest, if I can even call it that. It was just so unfinished. Like, I'm like, did you guys, what happened? So yeah, that was not others. Destined with You. I have ranted about Destined with You on my stories. So I don't want to go too deep into it. Again, I think when I say disappointed, it's not like I was expecting like the best. It's just that like I was expecting the show to be at least be enjoyable. So I was expecting like a cute fantasy rom-com. And I think that with Destined with You, they spent too much time on the spells when I think they could have used that time to kind of, you know, go back and investigate this like past life situation. Because I thought that story was more interesting than trying to figure out if the spells were working or not. Nayeon, why was she in the show the entire time? Who knows? There's just so many things that happened in the show that just made zero sense. And it was just so poorly done. I don't know why I finished it. And I went against my rule by like finishing a show I didn't like. But I was just so curious to see how it was going to end. But like, again, it was also like really boring. It wasn't a good show to me. My Lovely Liar. My Lovely Liar started off so good. The couple was really cute. They had some really swoony moments in the beginning that I was just eating up. The mystery element was really cool. I think they really dropped the ball with the motive of the killer, you could say. The motive, I feel like it was half-baked. Also, the romance just kind of was gone at a certain point of the show, and you forgot these two were even together. But the second male lead from the show was the sweetest thing. And I only want good things for him. And I want to see him in other shows because he was so sweet. I loved him. Alchemy of Soul season 2, we have a review on that one. But I did not enjoy this at all. At all. Like, at any point. I should have let it go. I don't know why I didn't. I think it's because we kind of said we're gonna do a review on it, so I had to finish it. I mean, I can't even tell you what happened. Didn't enjoy it. The only thing that kept me going with that show was EJ Wook and his amazing acting, but I think they really dropped the ball with like switching out the female leads. Not that Go Yoon Jung isn't amazing, she is, but I think like the characterization was just very off, and I just could not get with her and like EJ Wook as a couple, and like none of it made sense. And then like all the rules and the lore, none of it made sense. And my thing is like things need to make sense, especially in like a fantasy show. It all needs to come full circle, and it did not at all. It just ended up being more confusing, and like, you know, things that were supposed to be super high stakes ended up having no stakes at all, and it was frustrating. So no thank you. One Day Off. So this show stars Lee Na Young, who is in one of my favorite shows, Romance is a Bonus Book. And it's a short little mini web drama, 8 episodes. Each episode is like 25 minutes. So it's like 4 hours total to watch it. It was a very, very, very slice of life show. She's just kind of like, basically she's a teacher in the 90s, and it kind of follows her when she goes on her day trips on the weekends, and she just explores different places. And it was kind of in the style of like mini short films, which is really cool, but it was just kind of like flat. It's not terrible, but like it wasn't, I don't know. It wasn't what I was expecting. And then lastly, The Worst of Evil. Oh my goodness, you guys, this hurt my heart. This hurt my heart. I was so excited about this show. I was like, Ji Chang Wook and Wee Ha Jun are going to be in a show together. This is what dreams are made of. And the show was so disappointing. It was so disappointing. Now, the acting was incredible. The cast was incredible. Like, Ji Chang Wook killed it. His acting was so good. But for it to be this mobster drama, there are things that were being done that just didn't make any sense. And I was like, I can't suspend disbelief this much. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. And it seemed like the writers just gave up. Like, they gave the characters no setup or a story. They were just kind of like these like blank slates with like, I don't know. It was the weirdest thing. Like for Ji Chang Wook's character, he got no setup or anything. And I'm just like, who is this guy? Like, we don't know. As an audience, we should be able to know who our characters are. The writing didn't do a good job in telling us who our characters were. And it was just, it was so disappointing. It was so disappointing. Oh my goodness. So yes, those are the dramas that disappointed me, unfortunately. Funniest drama, definitely Behind Your Touch. And I know there are like mixed reviews on Behind Your Touch. I did not expect to love Behind Your Touch as much as I did, but that show had me cackling every episode. I was cracking up. But like that show has such a good storyline. I think the writing is so tight on that show. I think they did the mystery really, really well. And Suho from EXO, he did such a good job in that show. I was like, Suho like can act. Like, I want to see him in more shows. So it was so funny. And like, you know, the chemistry between Imin Ki and Han Ji Min was really, really good. They were so funny together. And just solving the different cases and like the main case. And it was a really fun show. And I laughed every episode. I really, really enjoyed it. It didn't take itself too seriously. I loved it. Okay, so now on to my favorite new to me actors, aka additions to the list, which is just an imaginary list of my favorite actor boos. So Nam Goong Min, of course, is on the list now. Love him. I'm going to watch all his shows. He's amazing. Kim Young Kwang from Call It Love. Love him. I love him. I love him. He's so good. Lee Do Hyun, Woo Do Hwan, Jang Dong Yoon, and Steve No from Soundtrack Number 2. So those are all my additions to the list. Okay, so best friendships. So of course the friend group from My Dearest. So I already talked about Eunae, but Eunae, Jongjong, Dune, and Gilche together, they have been through so much together on their journey throughout the show, and their bond was like unbreakable, and it was just really beautiful to see how they supported each other and lifted each other up and loved each other. So yeah, loved them. Wooju and Yoonjun, like I talked about, and Yoonjun's friendship with all the siblings in Call It Love, it was great. I also loved Haeyi, Sunjae, and Gunhoo, who are the high school friends in Crash Course in Romance. I love them together. All the scenes with the high schoolers, I absolutely loved. And usually in shows where like there's kind of the adult storyline and like the high school storyline, I'm not really interested in like the school part of it. But I loved like that whole storyline with the kids. Like, it was really, really cute. I loved the chemistry all between all of them, and like the little romances and the crushes and all the things. It was just really, really nice. I loved it. And lastly, Mrs. Nam and Dangun from The Glory. So good. They were wonderful, wonderful friends. And even though Dangun was reluctant at first, she really embraced Mrs. Nam. And I loved their partnership. Okay, on to best OSTs. So are you guys tired of hearing me talk about My Dearest? The entire My Dearest OST, no skips, literally. And that's like very rare. I think the only OST that has no skips for me is the Goblin OST. But yeah, I can play the entire OST from My Dearest, including the instrumentals. And I love it all, especially With My Heart. That is such a beautiful song. I believe the artist is Kai. And Anunjin has a version of the song as well that is so beautiful. But yeah, that is an amazing OST. I also love two songs from Oasis, Nobody Knows and Let Me Go. Those are both some of my top songs on my Spotify Wrapped because I played them so much. Those are really good songs. Yeah, the OST for Oasis was really good. And also from Call It Love, Flower by Rory Kim. Such a beautiful song. So, so good. Okay, so now on to most underrated drama. Definitely Call It Love. I wish more people watch Call It Love. Like, oh my gosh, that show is beautiful. If you love slice of life, if you love melodrama, please watch Call It Love because it is such a beautiful show. Especially this time of year, I think it's like the perfect show to watch. So yes, Call It Love is that show. Trolley, I don't think anyone watched it except me and Manasa, who's been on the podcast before for the Our Blues review. She's the only other person I know who watched it. I thought that show was so good, and like no one watched it, and it was on Netflix too, but it was really, really good, and I watched it on a whim and I absolutely loved it. And of course Oasis. Again, Oasis has issues, but no one watched it, and except Manasa, and I know Lola watched it too even though she didn't really love it. But and it's not like I'm like, oh my gosh, I love Oasis, but like I acknowledge that there's issues with that show, but like the watching experience was great. Like I really enjoyed watching it, as like problematic as it was in some parts. So most surprising drama, Behind Your Touch, because I really didn't know that I was going to like it as much as I did, but I absolutely love it. Perfect Marriage Revenge completely surprised me because I was like, oh, like this show is like Mock Jong show, like I'm not gonna like it. And it just completely took me by surprise. I really, really, really enjoyed it. It was just so well done. It was such a fun watch. Bloodhounds, like, you know, it was a Netflix original. So I didn't know how it was going to be because those can kind of be a hit or miss. But it was a really solid show. I really, really enjoyed it. Yes, it's very violent, but the story is really solid. The friendships in it are really good. I really enjoyed that show. And soundtrack number two, I really, really enjoyed. I didn't expect to enjoy it. I didn't even expect to watch it because I didn't think it was going to be available in the US. And it was. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. And I was like, soundtrack number two, like, do we need a soundtrack number two? But like, I watched it and I was like, I really like this. Like, it's really, really cute. And, you know, soundtrack number one holds a special place in my heart. But I really liked this one, too. Like, I thought it was a really cute, short and sweet show. And this is my last like category, but this is all the non-2023 dramas I watched this year. And I'm going to go in order from my favorite to my least favorite. So first, Our Blues. I did a review of Our Blues, my friend Manasa, and it's just so, it's perfect. It's perfect. Perfect. It's a perfect show. It has my whole heart. I love it. Fight for My Way. Oh, PSJ. Love that show. Amazing. Also have a review for that one as well. Kill Me, Heal Me. Beautiful show. I'm so happy I watched that show at the beginning of this year. It's such a powerful show. I've never watched a show that was so funny yet so emotional. It's such a great show. Healer. Amazing. Ji Chang-wook in his best form. I love that show so much. I did a review of that one with Elle. My Name, which stars Han So-hee and An Bo-hyun. Really like that show. I mean, it's okay, actually. No, it's okay. It's not amazing to me, but I did watch it. I'm glad I watched it. I'll say that. The twist was really good. I enjoyed it. And last but certainly least is The Heirs. This is like the worst show I watched this year. I put it in my trash bin category on my overall K-drama list. And one of the worst shows I've watched ever. Like, I mean, I don't have anything good to say. And I think that this really solidified, like, I will not suffer through a show, like, for the podcast again. Like, if I don't like it, I'm not watching it. Because that show puts such a bad taste in my mouth. Like, yeah. I have strong feelings against that show. Don't like it. Don't like it. But yeah, those are the, you know, so I only watched six like old dramas this year. So I hope next year I get to watch more. But lastly, I wanted to talk about some predictions I have for 2024 in K-dramas. So I'm hoping that we get some more melodramas in this coming year, more slice of life shows. And I feel like we're kind of going into the direction of melodrama only because like, there's that show Marry My Husband starring Park Min Young that's coming out in January. And I'm like, are we ushering in like, you know, are we going into like the melodrama era of K-drama? Like, I'm just curious. So I'm really curious to see like what the trend is going to be in this coming year. So I think we're going to get more melodramas, especially after the success of Perfect Marriage Revenge, kind of soapy melodrama. Hopefully more slice of life because we got like none of those this year. And I'm also hoping that we get like romances in unique settings or situations that are just not made to be unique because it's fantasy, but unique because of like the situation or whatever the circumstances are and not just because it's a fantasy. So yeah, those are some of the things I hope to see next year. But also I just hope it's more of like a mixed bag and we get a lot of different things instead of like more of the same. Like I don't want to see another Past Lives drama. Like I personally cannot do it anymore. So we'll see what happens in 2024. So that's it, you all. That's all. Oh, wow. Okay, so first of all, I just wanted to say thank you all so much, my lovely listeners, for sticking with me through all the changes the podcast has, you know, gone through the last few months. There were honestly times during the last few months where I wasn't sure if I'd be able to sustain the podcast on my own, but just all of your kind words and your messages and, you know, every like on Instagram, every listen, like, you know, all those things like really help to keep me going. And just your support means the world. And I just really, 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 really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I truly think of you all as my friends, and I thank God for all of you. And I'm just very grateful for your support, just through all the changes and just, you know, everything. I'm so grateful that like you guys like reach out to me and say like what you're watching, or like let me know that you listened and like what you think about what I said, or you know, you let me know like what your current drama is you're watching, like how it's going and like things like that, or you ask me my opinions. Like I'm really thankful for those things, because like, you know, that's why we're all here, right? Like a lot of us don't have people in our personal lives that like K-dramas as much as we do, and it's nice to have a community of people that do, and that's what you guys are for me. And I'm very, very grateful for your support and just sticking by me and like being here to like, yeah, like going to like one host and always having a guest host and like having the name change. Like that's asking a lot of you guys, and I'm just really, really grateful that you guys stuck with me, and I'm very grateful. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I also could not have completed season 2 without my wonderful guest co-host. So I wanted to thank Lola from Lola Pops Off About K-Dramas, Oriel, of course, for coming on. She's come on a few times. I'm just so grateful to her. Elle, Maddie, Christina, Manasa, Carol from K-Drama Musings, Liliana, Tee and Soju, Hill, Jess, Susie, and Lynn. I thank you guys so, so much. The rest of this season would not have been possible without you all. Just so thank you guys for being my friends and supporting me through this podcasting journey. I literally could not have done it without you guys. Like, you have no idea how grateful I am. You know, like, it's, yeah, your support and just being able to come on has just meant the world to me, and I'm so grateful. Yeah, so thank you all just so much. And with that being said, I will be taking my winter break, but I will still be online and still be watching dramas. So still feel free to message me, let me know what's going on. New episodes will be coming in February. So yeah, I will see you guys then. But again, thank you all. Love you. Happy, happy new year. Be safe. And I will talk to y'all later. Bye.